So Lord, may graciously help me. I would turn your prayerful attention to the Sermon on the Mount that we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 10 as our text this morning. Matthew 6 and verse 10, but particularly the third petition in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The whole verse reads, Matthew 6 verse 10, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The Lord Jesus taught this, spoke this sermon to the disciples, but there was clearly others, many others joined him as well and listened to his teaching. And he began this teaching with giving the characteristics of the kingdom, the characteristics of the people in the kingdom. Remember, the whole background here was the religious elite, the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're exhorting themselves and thinking themselves to be righteous in and of themselves. And Jesus explains a righteousness which is very different than the scribes and the Pharisees were speaking of. It was a righteousness outside of themselves. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, their righteousness was all about keeping, about their own keeping of the law and about their own righteousness. But Jesus gives this qualification. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It was a very different characteristics than they would think it would be. Well, we've read together, and the verse that we've read is part of what we would commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. But really, it was a pattern prayer that the Lord gave for his disciples and for the people of God to come to God. And so firstly, perhaps I'll just look at the prayer as a whole before we look particularly at what we've named as a text. So the Lord Jesus is teaching that his children come to him in this way. Our Father. A family, as it were, recognizing that God is their Father. They come to him as Father. And but it might be that you might say, but yes, I'm not sure I can come that way. But as Jesus was speaking these words in the Sermon on the Mount, when we come short, you see, when we don't know perhaps whether we can say all these words of assurance, then we need to come and plead these petitions and plead them as unto him. Because you see, if we come short and realise, and as we rightly read this Sermon on the Mount, the intention is that we recognise our shortcoming. The intention is that it's an exceedingly high standard. But then that drives us back, you see, to what it says here. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. All the time you're satisfied with your own righteousness, you won't be looking for another righteousness, will you? You won't be hungering and thirsting for somebody else's righteousness if you're fully satisfied with your own. That was Saul of Tarsus in his Pharisaical unregeneracy. He was satisfied with his own righteousness. He didn't need the righteousness of another. Indeed, he abhorred that righteousness and sought to destroy those that embraced it. But when God shattered his own righteousness, then he came to start to appreciate a righteousness which was outside of himself. And so this is what what Jesus is speaking to his people. So our Father, they are to come to him as Father. Hallowed be thy Father which art in heaven. The first petition, the six petitions in this prayer, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. These first three petitions are all about the worship of God and God's honour and God's name and God's glory. And really, later on, there's a very well-known verse in this chapter, which is verse 33, says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And really, the pattern prayer is exactly that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The first thing when we come to pray is not all about me and all about my kingdom and my furtherance, but it's about God and his kingdom and his glory. That's the start. That's the beginning. That's the first three petitions. And then we come, God knows we also have earthly needs. And so he then, the next three petitions are to do with, give us this day our daily bread. A recognition that we need food. We need sustaining, both naturally and spiritually. And this other great need that we have in verse 12, forgive us our debts. A recognition that we are debtors. That the high standard of God's righteousness we fall short of. And therefore a realization that we need forgiveness. We need mercy. We need that. But then also that we forgive our debtors. So if we have obtained mercy, then we should be those who show mercy. Because we have received it. We do not receive mercy because we've shown mercy. No, that is the wrong order. But as God has shown us mercy, as we know what it is to recognize our shortcomings, then we will have a very different attitude to others that also need our mercy. And it's interesting that Jesus doesn't envisage in this earth that we come to a position where we don't need mercy, where we don't need forgiveness. He's clearly not of the persuasion that there's perfection, as it were, of Christians here below. No, they're still sinners. As long as they live in a body of sin and death, they daily sin. And they daily need forgiveness. They daily need washing. And he encourages them to pray for it and to receive it. And then in the last petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The recognition that don't lead us in wrong ways, but keep us. The recognition of needing to be kept. And then it goes back, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. So we have a prayer that's focused first and foremost on God and his glory, then our personal needs, and then back to the kingdom and the glory of God. So that's, if you like, a little overview of the prayer that the Lord has left on record for his disciples. A pattern of the things that we should be praying for, and the order and the content. Well, the word on my spirit really is then in this 10th verse, the third petition, thy will be done. This is a petition that Jesus instructs his disciples and others listening in. Thy will be done. You see, Adam in the Garden of Eden and Eve, they fell. They did their own will. They didn't do God's will. God said, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And they went ahead and ate it. But they were not doing God's will. They were doing their will. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is that second Adam. The last Adam. That came to undo what the first Adam did. And so Jesus, you see, as we read through this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is the perfect keeper of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus perfectly did what he told his disciples to pray for. He was that one that was humble in spirit. He was that one that hungered and thirsted after righteousness. He was that one that sought his Father's kingdom. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Thy will be done. So Adam was not doing God's will in the Garden of Eden as he disobeyed. So we need to know what God's will is, what God loves, and what God hates. So when we think of thy will be done, our minds perhaps naturally go to think of the Ten Commandments as as encapsulating what God hates and what God loves. See those Ten Commandments. And yet, as those Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai, they were spoken to the people from the mouth of God, and then later on, 40 days later, they were written on those tables of stone, and Moses came down from the mount carrying them. But by then they'd already disobeyed those commandments. They'd already made a golden calf. They were already worshipping this calf that they said had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They'd already broken God's commandment. Thy will be done. That perfect standard. But that's a standard, you see, that we have broken in Adam, and then we do it ourselves because we're also a part of that fallen race. So when we pray, thy will be done, there is that perfect will, the Ten Commandments, the revealed will of God. He's revealed that this is what we should do. But there's also a secret will of God. If you look at Isaiah and chapter 46, Isaiah 46 and verse 10, we read these words, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things which that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This is the secret will of God. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. That's Isaiah 46, verse 10. And there is a secret will of God, and we don't know what that is always. We have to bow before a sovereign God, and yet he has revealed what his will is in the Word of God. But you see, if the will of God revealed in God's Word was just the Ten Commandments, then there would really be no hope for us, because we've broken them and we come short. And all those Ten Commandments do in and of themselves is condemn us. Yes, they show us what holiness is, they show us what the righteous way is, but they condemn us because we come short. But you see, that isn't all that we have in God's Word about the will of God. We're thankful to the Lord for that. If you look in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, we have this well-known text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, says Paul. So this is also, and if you look in John's Gospel, we have the will of God clearly stated. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This was the will of God. The will of God was not just the Ten Commandments. Yes, it was. But if that's all it was, there would be no hope for you and me. The will of God included salvation, redemption. And that's so precious. Don't lose sight of that. When we pray, thy will be done, we're not just praying for the holy law of God, for the Ten Commandments. Yes, we are. That includes that. But God's way of redemption, God's way of satisfying the requirements of justice that we fell short of. You see, if you look in John's Gospel, chapter 6, John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 38, the Lord Jesus lets us in to the what the will of God is. John 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, this is Jesus speaking, not to do mine own will. Oh, how different than Adam. He didn't come to do his own will. Thy will be done. You see, this is Jesus. This is the one that perfectly kept the law of God. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So what is the will of him that sent him? Well, we're told in verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing. You see, it's a will that has redemption in it. Redemption for a lost and ruined people in the fall. This is the will of God. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, this is God's will. God's will is a will of salvation, of redemption. Yes, there's the Ten Commandments, but those on their own, all they do is nothing but condemn us. Oh, it's a righteous standard, but we fall short. But here, for this is the will of God which sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of God. You see, we can just look at the Ten Commandments and say, well, this is the will of God, and it is. But all that does is condemn. But you see, the Lord Jesus has come that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. You see, the Lord Jesus is that one that kept the law. In Moses, when Moses was instructed to go back up the mount after the Ten Commandments were broken, after the tables were shattered as he came down the mount, a picture of the broken law. Moses was instructed to go back up the mount with two more tables, and God was going to write the same commandments. He didn't change the commandments. He didn't say, well, clearly these commandments are too much for you to keep. I'll make some easier ones for you to keep. No, he wrote the same commandments again. But this time, Moses put them in the ark. Moses kept them, and they were maintained, not broken. And remember that the ark was a picture of Christ, made of that acacia wood, also covered with gold, his deity and his humanity. And inside that ark, those Ten Commandments, they were not broken. They were the same commandments that were given before, but they were kept. The Lord Jesus kept those commandments. And therefore, you see, there was going to be a way of salvation for his people in him. Those who have come to the end of their own righteousness, they look to Christ, who kept the law and made it honourable. You see, it was nothing wrong with the law. It wasn't the law that needed to change. It was us who were rebellious. Us that came short. We needed one to represent us, one to be a mediator, one to bring us back to God through the Red Sea of his own blood. Well, the Lord Jesus then gives us his pattern prayer, thy will be done. As we pray that then, we're praying that the will of God be done in our hearts. That this kingdom of God would come, that this redemption might be manifest in our lives, that we might be redeemed, that we might be washed, that we might be cleansed, that we might know the will of God worked out in our lives. Yes, the secret will of God, we do not know exactly what will happen and how his purposes will all work out. There's many things we do not know, but this we do know, that the will of God is a will of redemption. It's a will of salvation for his church. It's a will of mercy, because we have one that delighteth in mercy. But also the will of God, you see, is to be a blessing. And both in justification, but also in sanctification. If you look in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Yes, there's to be an outward walking consistently with those Ten Commandments. As we have been cleansed and brought into the kingdom, we are then to realise that those laws are still at the righteous standard, and we are to seek to walk by them, but as children that are brought into the kingdom, to see that our Father in heaven is that one that has cleansed his people, washed them, put his law in their hearts. Well, we read then, thy will be done. Do we desire that? The will of God to be done. His will of redemption, his will of mercy, his will of showing forth his grace. Thy will be done. Well, then we focus on those words, thy will be done. You see, it's not enough just to say, well, yes, I've come to realise what God's will is. It's a will of mercy. It's a will of redemption. There's these Ten Commandments, but I know it, but I don't do it. I'm not involved in it. It doesn't affect me. You see, that thy will be done. Oh, Jesus picks that up at the end of this Sermon on the Mount and contrasts two characters. One that built their house on a rock, and one that built their house on a sand. And the one on the rock, it stood the storms, and the one on the sand didn't. When the floods came, the house was demolished. And Jesus gives the meaning of this is those that hear God's word but don't do it is like the one that built his house on the sand. They were not doers of the word. They were hearers. They heard what it is, and we need to hear what God's word is. But if all we do is hear it and then walk off and do something entirely different, then we are not going to be blessed by that. Indeed, the hearing of God's word and knowing the right way and then turning away from it will be evidence against us. To have known the right way and turned away from the right way is more serious than have never known it, never knowing it. Well, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. You see, thy will has got to be done in our hearts here. This is not just something, well, thy will be done when we get to glory. No, thy will be done on earth. That's where we are now. Today, in my life, this week, this month, this year, thy will be done. You see, in Ezekiel, we have those precious words, Ezekiel 36. Of what the Lord is going to do to his people. Ezekiel 36 verse 26, it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart, the hard heart, out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh, a heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness rather than turns away from it." You see, by nature we turn away from that which is right. The breathings of Psalm 119 are not natural. But to one that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, whose heart has been touched, they become the natural heartbeat of a healthy child of God. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." You see, thy will be done. Not just said, not just known, but done. "Cause you to walk in my statutes and to keep my judgments and do them." Thy will be done in earth. But what a place earth is. Earth is a place where God, for the most part, is ridiculed. For the most part in our nation, the thought is there is no God. We're just a product of random chance. There's no creator, there's no order, there's no ultimate authority. It's all down to science, and we've all come as random chance. All the beauties and the intricacies of creation are all put down to random chance. So opposite to common sense, so opposite to everything we know in design. But that's what it's put down to. But we are here, in this earth that despises the Lord Jesus Christ, that seeks to go your own way. They say, well, no, you need to take charge of your own life. You need to be proud of yourself. You need to have all this self-esteem of yourself. You need to trust yourself. Thy will be done in earth. We are to, as it were, bring down, you see. We are these way of living to this earth. Not to say, well, when we get to glory, then we can live like that. No, we're to live like that today. To have a different attitude and a different mindset in the world that which we live in. An attitude and a mindset that glorifies God rather than glorifies ourselves. That trusts Him instead of trusting ourselves. Thy will be done in earth. Then he doesn't stop there. He says, as it is in heaven. We start to see now the magnitude of this request. We're asking, as we pray this pattern prayer that the Lord Jesus has instructed his disciples and those looking on, this is what it is to be a kingdom member. And you see, as you see some of these things, and perhaps you're not sure whether you are one of those children of God yet. You perhaps are fearful to be able to say, Our Father. You say, well, I'm not sure whether I am one of those people. Ah, but do you see an attraction here? Do you see, as we look through this account, something with them numbered may I be now and for eternity? This people that are a blessed people, this people that are seeking the will of God, not their own will. Do you see an attraction in this? So often in the beginnings of the work of God in the soul, there is a recognition of the separation that there is between us and the people of God. That we are not like them. That they are a holy people and we are unholy people. They are a godly people and we recognize our ungodliness. And yet, Lord, as we move on then, we realize that really puts in the longing of the heart, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so you see, the characteristic of a child of God is then beginning to show itself in you, if that is your heart. You see, if you're hungering and thirsting after these things, you feel the lack of them. You feel that this is far off, this is above where you are, but you desire it. Who's given you that desire? By nature, you see, we desire not the knowledge of his ways. There's no beauty that we should desire him, but have we come to see this is precious? Thy will be done. Or have you started to be sick of your own will? Sick of that will that is self-centered and self-seeking, and starting to be interested in something bigger, something greater. Well, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? Well, it's done by the angels, isn't it? And it's done perfectly. It's done willingly. It's done immediately. It's done joyfully. The angels are not grudging and complaining, I suppose I have to go and give this message to somebody. No, they don't do it like that. They're delighting to do the Master's bidding. Thy will be done. In earth, in your life, living amongst those that ridicule the things of God. This is how we are to live. This is our prayer. Oh, you say this is too high. It's a prayer. It's a desire. We come short. And the more we come short, the more we flee to Christ, who satisfied the law and made it honourable. But this is the standard. The standard doesn't change. But you see, the one who kept this law is the Lord Jesus Christ, who kept it perfectly. In heaven, then, God's will is done perfectly, completely, immediately, joyfully. And this is the prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the desire of a child of God, that God's will, instead of living to self, instead of with all those corrupting, selfish motives that you see, Adam, when he went his own way, he took of the fruit, he recognized, he thought that the fruit and Eve did that was good to look at and to be desired. He thought, if I break God's law, there'll be something good. I'm going to benefit by breaking God's law. That's what he thought. And that's what Eve thought. But what actually happened? Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. As Adam went his own way, he ruined all his future race. He ruined that happiness. He ruined that communion. It was not a good thing. You see, the world live a lie. They live a lie. They pretend, you see, that they're really happy and fulfilled. If I can just use this illustration, there was a minister in America, and he was on a plane and sitting next to somebody, and we got talking to them, and this person, this man that he was talking to, he said, well, you see, I retired early and I've made enough money. I now just go touring around the world playing golf. I can go to all these different places and play at all these great places. And the idea was, it's a wonderful life. Well, the minister said to him, don't you think you'll get tired of playing golf at some point? And you see, this man didn't expect anybody to have that sort of reaction. He expected everybody to be in admiration of what a wonderful life. And do you know what that man replied? He said, I already have. And that is the lie. That is the lie of this world. They promote the happiness of this world, and it's all a lie. Really, when you ask them, are you really fulfilled? Does this really satisfy? No, it doesn't. Ah, but to do God's will, that satisfies. Thy will be done. This is what will give satisfaction. This will give preciousness. You see, the Lord Jesus perfectly kept this. If we think of the delight that he had to do his Father's will, in Psalm 40, we have those beautiful words. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Jesus came, you see, and he delighted in his Father's will. He didn't grudgingly come to earth, and I suppose I have to. For these people that I've been given, I don't want to come, but I suppose I have to. No. He came willingly. He came in love. He came delighting to do his Father's will. And you say, well, it's all right doing your Father's will, is that if everything's straightforward and easy. Yes, I don't mind doing the will of God then. Well, you see, you come to Gethsemane and you find out what the will of God for God the Father, will for God the Son. He had that cup set before him. The cup of the wrath of God due to his church. Jesus comes in prayer and says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You see, Jesus was perfectly coming to this point where he would fulfill exactly. You see, when Jesus gave prayers for us to pray, he was no hypocrite. He didn't tell you to pray one thing and him do a different one. He walked this out in perfection. And when he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, he willingly went his Father's way. Because you see, his Father's will, you see, if his Father had said, well, no, perhaps it is a bit of a difficult way, we won't go that way. Where would have been the redemption of the church? Where would have been our salvation? No, we have, this is the will of God, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he wouldn't be moved from that purpose. His purpose of love and mercy for his people was going to continue. And he was going to go through with that. And therefore there was the bitterness of Gethsemane. There was the sacrifice that needed to be made at Calvary. But you see, all that was in fulfillment of the will of God with a wonderful outcome. You see, Philippians picks up that difference. You see, the world crack on about how wonderful it is to give yourselves to sport and to all the things that they say that will really make you fulfilled. But you see, the Lord Jesus made himself of no reputation. He delighted to do his Father's will. Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. But you see, as Philippians 2 picks it up so beautifully, and being found in fashion as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. This is fulfillment. This is satisfaction. You see, God knows that true satisfaction is to be found not in breaking God's commandments, but in running in the ways of God's commandment. But by nature, we're far off. And yet, Lord, in the great plan of salvation, there's a gospel to be preached. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He drew them to himself. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, here, this is what makes for eternal blessedness. Oh, you follow the paths of sin, and you will find that they bite. They will not ultimately give satisfaction. Adam didn't, did he? He thought he would be better off for eating of that fruit. He certainly wasn't. Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. But God's law, the holiness of God's law and God's purpose in salvation is such. We come, thy will be done. Yes. And some of the things we know what God's will is. He tells us that we should not steal. We don't need to go and pray to him whether we should steal our neighbour's car. No, we don't need to pray about that. It's clear from the word of God that we should not do that. But you see, there's other things that we do need to pray about. We don't know the way ahead. We don't know whether we should live here or there, or whether we should go to this place or that place, and perhaps neither of them are outwardly wrong. We need guidance. Thy will be done. Oh, that we might know that will of God being done in our lives. That will be for the glory of God. Oh, we go our own way. If we twist and turn and seek to go a way that seems right to us instead of God's way. Thy will be done. Living to self, living to our own ends, will ultimately end in disappointment and emptiness. But you see, as we seek to have God's will, the Father's will was a will of Father, I will. We look at that lovely high priestly prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed in John's Gospel. John 17. Father, I will that these also be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. You see, there's something glorious. And in heaven we read, that the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. They're not unfulfilled in heaven. There's something exceptionally precious. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You see, this is the way. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. This is to be our prayer, that we might be people who desire to do God's will. recognize the fatality of going our own way and recognizing that this is the right way. And Jesus was that perfect example that perfectly kept the law, but he kept it not just to show us up, not just to ridicule us and to show that he could keep it and we couldn't. He did it in love, so that he could lay down his life, a ransom for many, but he could then give them a righteousness they never had themselves. And so when we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ, you see, we're clothed with a perfect keeping of God's will. Imputed to us is the righteousness of Christ. His perfect keeping of those, that Sermon on the Mount, and how to work that out in our lives. He did it. He did it for his people. He did it for their good. Not, you see, sometimes when other people fail, somebody else will come along and do it with glory to themselves and really ridiculing everybody else. Jesus didn't come in that way. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't run a lifeboat round people that were drowning and just said, well, I'm all right and you're not. No, he came where they were. He came where they were. He stood in their wretched place. He received the wrath of God that they deserved for their breaking of God's law, so that they could be brought into communion with the church's living head. You see, this is a different will. This is a different world. To pray this prayer is a high petition. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That perfect will, that will that ends in glory, that will that ends in unity, that will that ends in worship, the will that ends in satisfaction. One of them we read in the Word of God, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We live in a world which is so often dissatisfied, and we can be dissatisfied. Oh, we want something bigger, something better, something more fulfilling. Ah, there's nothing more fulfilling than doing God's will and living to God's glory. Oh, people want purpose and meaning in life. There is no purpose and meaning of life outside of the will of God. This is God's will. God's will, even your sanctification. God's will is for our eternal blessing as well as his glory. Well, may we be encouraged then to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen.